Will you pray with me? Lord, let the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight. For you, Lord, are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. You may be seated. There's nothing quite like a great opening line. It isn't everything, to be sure, but a good opening line of a novel, a film, or a poem can go a long way in immersing you in the story, in the image, or the idea that is being conveyed. And when it comes to epic beginnings, John's gospel has to take the cake. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. I have to admit, that even beats a long time ago in a galaxy far, far away. The other thing that can really get me into a story is the scope, the size of what is being told. Full worlds, galaxies of possibility make for an engaged and enthralled imagination. And you can't get bigger than the scope of John's gospel. Right off the bat, John's scope for his gospel is cosmic. Not only is the physical scope of the good news as boundless as creation itself, but it even transcends the bounds of time. So not only space, but time. These opening words, they go back to the beginning, echoing here the very words of Genesis. In the beginning was the Word. It's interesting to contrast the beginning of John's gospel with the openings of the other gospels, which have different emphases. Mark gets right to business, not really having a nativity story at all, with the first line simply being a header as if it were an introduction in a movie script. The beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Matthew jumps immediately into Jesus' family tree. Luke opens up a little more like something we might be accustomed to seeing in the New Testament epistles, stating a recipient and a purpose for the book. I saw a funny Venn diagram this week that had the overlap of the content of Luke's and Matthew's stories of the Nativity. John, in this graph, has his own circle off to the side. He's just completely different, and it's an interesting thing. If a good Christmas activity, compare Matthew and Luke and John. John describes the incarnation completely differently. It reads much more like poetry, and poetry on the grandest, most cosmic scale. And the rest of John's first chapter, the rest of our reading, follows suit. It's less about mangers and swaddling clothes, which are important pieces of the Christmas story that ground Jesus in human history and experience. John's tale of the incarnation takes a different perspective. It shows us how history itself centers on this moment, placing the arrival of Jesus in the grand story of the struggle between good and evil, light and darkness. The church would have struggles for several centuries, some even extending into the modern day, about the nature of Jesus. There would be arguments made that he wasn't fully human, others made that he wasn't fully divine. In John's prologue, we have the best description we could want of the fully God and fully human Jesus. The Word was God. The Word became flesh. No one has seen God, but the Word has made God known. If you want to get your Christology right, read the first chapter of John. And so, the birth of that little baby, born in Bethlehem, has cosmic, universal implications. And they are for the good of all. The true light, John writes, which gives light to everyone was coming into the world. This light is full of grace and truth. There's a lot of hubbub and conversation over the title, the label, evangelical in our time. Is it a political designation? Is it a term denoting a set of standard beliefs? Well, I think there is value in being clear on those questions. Today, on Christmas Day, I want us to recover the basic meaning of that word. To be an evangelical in the biblical sense is to be a good news person. That word, euangelion, good news. That good news is the good news of Jesus. The good news of the light that is full of grace and truth coming into the world. What does it mean that God has come into the world in human flesh? What does it mean that even though we are lost, dead in our own sin and brokenness, God decides to bridge that gap himself? How would you describe that joyous mystery? John talks about it in words of light and darkness. And I think we can see in John a solid basis for a renewed evangelistic imagination. Solid ground from which we can become the ones who share the good news of the light of Jesus coming into the world. With creativity, grace, and imagination. John says near the end of his gospel that the purpose of his writing is evangelistic. This is in John chapter 20, verses 30 and 31. Now, Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. There's no better time than now to recapture that vision of God's good news on the biggest possible scale. If Advent is a time, a season of watching and waiting, Christmas is a time of celebration and feasting. And with that joy comes proclamation of that good news for the world to hear. Not out of obligation or wishing our will upon others, but out of an overflowing joy that the world has been put back together by the very love that made the heavens and the earth. I often feel intimidated when it comes to sharing my faith with those I know who do not believe. It can be easy to obsess over every little detail or anxiously prepare the perfect thing to say, I don't want to mess it up. I don't want to mess it up. But Christmas, and John's telling of the Christmas story on this cosmic scale, it gives us the opportunity to pause, zoom out, and remind ourselves that the good news of Jesus, it begins with the life and love that created the universe entering into the darkness of the world. That's where it begins. That is only the beginning of the story, of course. The cross and the empty tomb lie ahead in John's telling of the gospel story. But it begins with the light. Our reading from Isaiah talks about the beautiful feet of those who declare the good news of God's salvation. The reminder that God is king and reigns forever. That is not usually how I think about sharing my faith, if I'm honest. I think about it in terms of duty, or maybe even with feelings of embarrassment. But the person delivering medicine to a sick village is not embarrassed about what they carry, nor do they give the sick what they need begrudgingly. No, the goodness of the cure is evident enough on its own. We need good news. Christmas really is for everyone. And no, that doesn't mean that everyone needs to have an inflatable Santa in their yard. It doesn't mean that we need to be cross when a company serves their coffee in holiday cups. What it does mean is that the scope of the good news of Jesus, it's a global endeavor, a cosmic endeavor. Isaiah says that the ends of the earth shall see the salvation of our God. The gospel is good news for the whole world. And we get to be the ones who share that good news of God's victory with others. But we also need to be ready, because darkness doesn't always take kindly to the light. Think about what Jesus himself went through. John tells us that even though the world was made through him, the world did not know him. His own people rejected him. The good news of Jesus, the coming of the true king, it's not going to be welcome news to everyone at all times. And if we're honest with ourselves, we often do not want to vacate the throne of our own little worlds. If Jesus faced trial, rejection, embarrassment, false things said about him, that will at times be something we endure as well. Maybe you are enduring it now. But here's the best news of all. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. The darkness has not overcome the light. The God who comes in the manger is the one who will prevail in the end, who has prevailed over death itself from the empty tomb, who reigns now as the King of all creation. That's the Christmas message. Jesus is here. God is with us. And that is good news for you, for me, and for the whole world. Let's go forth and celebrate that news, but let's also proclaim it. The night is over. The light has come. And friends, that is good news. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.